Hey everyone, hope you're ready for another deep dive. Because this time, we're going someplace chilly.
Chilly, but fascinating.
Absolutely. We're going to be exploring all sorts of wintry wonders, but with a bit of a twist. Our source material today, a children's book.
That's right, we're diving into the Frozen River mystery. But don't let the children's book thing fool ya. This story is packed with some serious science, just waiting for us to unpack it.
So, like a river freezing over solid overnight? Is that even, like, really possible?
Well, that's one of the big questions we'll be tackling, along with what happens to the fish when the water gets all icy.
And let's not forget those mysterious footprints. Who or what could be making tracks on a frozen river?
Lots of intrigue.
Exactly. Now, for those of you unfamiliar with the Frozen River mystery, it follows this group of friends who find their local river completely frozen solid, seemingly overnight.
They're pretty shocked, right? It's like the whole landscape transformed while they were sleeping.
Exactly. And they're not the only ones caught off guard. Remember Professor Gill.
Professor Gill, the talking fish. Always a favorite.
Well, even Professor Gill seems a bit surprised by how quickly the river froze. And he should know, right? He lives there. Anyway, this whole frozen river thing gets the kids wondering about how ice forms in the first place.
And that's where the science kicks in. So we've all seen ice cubes in our drinks, but have you ever thought about how that ice actually forms?
Honestly, not really.
Well, it all starts with the way water molecules behave as the temperature drops. See, water is densest at 4 degrees Celsius, which is a bit weird. Most substances get denser as they get colder, but not water.
Okay, so what happens?
As the water cools below 4 degrees, it actually becomes less dense, meaning the colder water rises to the top. This is why ponds and lakes freeze from the top down, not the bottom up.
Wait, so the coldest water is actually at the top?
Yep. And when the temperature dips below freezing, that top layer is the first to turn into ice. Then, as more heat escapes from the surface, the ice layer gets thicker and thicker.
So that's how a river could seem to freeze over so quickly. It's not the whole river freezing solid, just that top layer getting thick enough to hold their weight.
Precisely. And this brings us back to Professor Gill and the fish. How do they survive under all that ice?
Right. They can't exactly bundle up in a scarf and mittens.
Thankfully, they don't have to. Remember how I said ice is a good insulator? Well, that comes into play here big time.
So even if the air temperature is way below freezing, the water under the ice stays relatively warm.
Not warm exactly, but much warmer than the air. Usually it hovers right around freezing, which is still pretty cold, but survivable for fish.
Still seems pretty harsh to me.
It is, but fish have evolved some remarkable adaptations to handle it. Some species produce these special proteins that act like antifreeze, preventing ice crystals from forming in their blood.
Fish antifreeze, that's amazing.
Right, and some fish even go into a state of torpor, kind of like hibernation, slowing down their metabolism to conserve energy.
Wow, nature is full of surprises. So, the fish are safe and sound under the ice. But what about those mysterious footprints on the frozen river? Remember, in the book, the kids see a set of tracks leading out onto the ice, but none coming back.
Spooky, right?
Definitely gave me chills as a kid. And honestly, it still kind of does. So what's the explanation?
Well, it turns out those footprints belong to a beaver.
A beaver, really?
Yep. Beavers are incredibly well adapted to winter conditions. They build those amazing lodges, remember, with underwater entrances.
Right, so they can swim in and out even when the surface is frozen.
Exactly. And their webbed feet and thick fur make them perfectly suited to navigating on ice and snow. So the beaver wasn't lost or in danger, it was just going about its business, using the frozen river as its own personal highway.
That's so cool. So sometimes the things that seem scary or mysterious have a perfectly natural explanation.
Absolutely. But that doesn't mean we should throw caution to the wind, especially when it comes to frozen water. Professor Gill's warning about thin ice is super important. Never, ever go out onto a frozen lake or river unless you are absolutely, positively sure it's safe.
Couldn't agree more. It's always better to be safe than sorry, no matter how tempting it might be to explore a frozen wonderland. So, the next time you find yourself bundled up in a winter coat, take a moment to appreciate the science at work all around you.
Yeah, think about the intricate process of water freezing, the incredible adaptations of fish and beavers, and the powerful forces that shape our winter landscapes.
It's all pretty mind-blowing when you stop and think about it.
You know, there's one thing the book doesn't really touch on that I think is worth pondering.
What's that?
Evergreens. Why do you think they stay green all year round, even when the rest of the trees lose their leaves?
Now you mention it, that is pretty interesting.
It is, isn't it? Maybe something for our listeners to investigate. And hey, if you uncover any other winter mysteries, we'd love to hear about them.
Absolutely. So until next time, stay curious and stay warm.